Well, God bless you. If you take your Bibles tonight, I want to talk to you about the subject of the measure of faith. The measure of faith. And, of course, that verse is recorded in Romans chapter 12, in verse 3. And that's where we'll go tonight, to Romans 12. The book of Corinthians, in chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. For God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty." And there is some scriptures that live for you. It's a rhema word to your heart at times. And this particular scripture lives for me because I fit into that category. I'm not a wise person and I'm foolish at times. But if you get tied up in the world and the world's opinion and the theology of the world will set a standard that they say you must obtain to be acceptable and to be able to be blessed and honored of God. But God just works the opposite way sometimes. I'm very thankful for smart people. And I'm especially thankful for smart people who are doers of the word. Smart people who aren't doers of the word, biblically smart people, are very dangerous. Very dangerous. They have caused more chaos and hurt and harm to the body of Christ than it could possibly be numbered. But smart people who are doers of the word, now they're wonderful. I have mentioned on several occasions that even within the Pentecostal religion that they would go with a man or a woman who is led by the Spirit before they'll go with a PhD because they want to be led by the Spirit. And Jimmy prayed that tonight, that we have the Spirit of God and He leads us. And I pray that He continues to do that. The thing with people is that in order to be led by the Spirit of God, you have to be meek. You have to be humble. You can't be a know-it-all. As I continue to work the subject of faith, there's a key that you have to understand in biblical research, and that is that if you want to move ahead in the field of biblical research, you have to be willing to unlearn as much as you're willing to learn. And what has plagued me from the beginning with concerns in regards to the word faith was the unclear and the wrong teaching that I sat through. And I am very, very, very slow to move away from something that I was taught and I believe to be true. And the two reasons for that is, one, I've just shared with you, because I don't consider myself smart. And the second reason for that has two parts, really. The second reason for that is my great love that I have for my teacher and the great respect that I have for him and still do. And I would never want to disgrace his legacy. But the greater reason than that is that, of course, you don't want to wrongly divide the Word of God and teach it to where it hurts people. See, that's no minister who loves God and loves God's people would ever want to do that. But in the same token, my teacher taught me that I have no friends when it comes to the Word. The Word has to be first and foremost. The measure of faith, as I was taught, is basically the faith of Jesus Christ. And it's the faith that is given to every born-again believer. Many years ago in a class I took, that's the way it was taught. It was taught that how could you have more faith than this? And it was taught in the context of backsliding, that you couldn't possibly backslide because you have all the faith that's available, and that's the faith of Jesus Christ. And I had no reason to question that because it seemed to fit with one of the usages of faith. And in Romans 12, verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, that verse was explained to me as a figure of speech, and it was explained to mean just the opposite, that you should think of regards of yourself of what God has done and how valuable you are. And we heard about value in prayer tonight. And we are valuable. And I have taught this section recently and within the past year, understanding this to refer to the faith of Jesus Christ. But what I want to share with you tonight is going to contradict that, because I don't believe what I shared was completely true. It would seem to me that the measure of faith dealt here is specific to the individual. Now, in order for me to show you this, we have to present to you some simple truths. I'm going to make them simple for you, that are not reflected in the King James translation. The word "the" in the phrase "the measure of faith" would appear to be rendered as such to show the use of a definite article in the text. Okay? Now, what I mean by that is this. When you read the Greek text of Romans chapter 12, verse 3, when you take an interlinear, you'll have the Greek on the top, and right below the Greek, you'll have the corresponding English word. Okay? Now, you were taught, as I was, that for the most part, the King James Version, when they have a word that's placed in italics, is the translator's way of telling you that it has no corresponding Greek word to this English word. That's why they place it in italics. And so when the reader, the student of the word, reads along and he comes to an italicized word, he knows that there's no Greek word there in the text, but it's supplied by the translators for understanding or because of their theology. Okay? So, here in Romans 12:3, at the end of the verse, it says, "God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." The measure of faith. Now, in English, you have two articles. You have a definite article, and you have an indefinite article. Okay? But in Greek, you only have one article, and that's the definite article. Now, that would seem to appear simple, but the Greek definite article can take on 24 different forms. So, it can really mess you up if you don't understand where you're going with it. The definite article is generally put in front of a noun, okay? And it's there, and it has to agree with that noun. If the noun, for instance, doesn't have a gender, all right, in Greek, the definite article that's placed before that noun gives the noun its gender. So, for instance, in the word theos, if theos doesn't come through with a gender, which is a word for God, and you have the definite article in the text, which is generally translated in our English by the word the God, okay? If the word the is masculine, and the noun that it's before doesn't have a gender, the masculine of the article is transferred to the noun, and the noun takes on the gender of the article. You understand? That's the way that works. All right. So if we read the word "the" in the King James, there should be a corresponding Greek word, in this case an article, in the Greek that's going to show the word "the." If there's no corresponding Greek article, King James does what? He puts the word "the" in what?
Italics.
Right? There you go. All right. So, I never thought to check the article in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, because I took for granted. It says, the measure of faith. And so, who am I to, you know, it's not in italics, and this is the way I was taught. So, I was reading it, and I went along, and lo and behold, in the Greek text, guess what? No article. Zero. It's not an article in Tischendorf or Elsevier or this guy. There's no article in any of the text. So why is the word "the" in the English when it has no word in the text to represent it? That's a good question. Equally a good question, as I worked Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You're saved by grace through faith, diapistis, through faith, by way of faith. Equally interesting is why the text reads dia, then the definite article, then the word pistis. And it says in the Stephen's text, through the faith. And there is no word "the" in Ephesians 2:8. And what's intriguing about that is that King James is exclusive in Elsevier and the Stephen's text of 1550 of translating from only those two texts. They didn't consult this guy, or this guy. They used those two texts because basically those two texts say the same thing. And in the Stephen's text of Ephesians 2:8, the article is there. But in the translation of Ephesians 2:8 in the King James, the word "the" is not supplied. See? And it's pertaining to the same subject. It's pertaining to the subject of faith. So now we have an omission in Ephesians 2:8, and we have an addition in Romans 12:3. In the King James. However, if you check the text of Romans 12:3, you will find no definite article there. All you will find is the word for the word "measure." And that's metron in the Greek. For God has dealt unto every man metron pistos. Okay? Metron means a determined extent. Metron is a portion measured off. It's a portion measured off or dished out. Metron is the required measured. That's very important. It's a required measure. It's a degree or quantity within the limits that God has assigned. Now, the American Standard of Romans 12:3, the end of the verse reads, God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. A measure of faith. It doesn't say the measure of faith. It's a measure of faith. The Bible in basic English, God has dealt to everyone a measure of faith. Young's literal, a measure of faith. The New American Standard, a measure of faith. Now you have another translation, which is fairly recent, and it's called the New King James. The New King James corrects the error in the old King James. Because when you get to the New King James of Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the New King James translates it a measure of faith, or to each one a measure of faith. It's a measure of faith. Okay? And that's the accuracy of the text. The Greek is very precise. It's a measured out quantity to every man. It's measured out. And there's a great difference between the measure of faith and a measure of faith. Big difference. The measure of faith is in accordance with the new birth, and as such, it's salvation faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ given to every man when they get born again, and it's given to every man, listen, equally. Nobody has more Christ in you than somebody else. You got it? You got it all. The faith of Jesus Christ. It's given to every man equally. Equally. So, what we need to do is we need to look at the context of Romans chapter 12 to see if we can start to unravel what's going on in verse 3. Beginning in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And here was my key when I started to work this. I got to the fourth word in the verse. The fourth word in the verse is the word brethren. Brethren. So, when he uses the word brethren, who is he talking to? He's talking again, right. He's talking to born-again believers. He's addressing the church. That's when he uses the word brethren. He's not addressing people who are in need of salvation. The people to whom he is speaking are already saved. And that's one of the keys you have to understand in the context. Paul is talking to people who are born again about their walk. He's talking to people that are born again about their service. He's not talking to them about their sonship or how to get saved. The New Jerusalem translates verse 1, I urge you therefore, brothers, remembering the mercies of God, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, dedicated and acceptable to God. That is the kind of worship for you as sensible people. It's a logical thing to do. Verse 2 in King James now. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay. Paul's beseeching them to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. He's asking them to live holy. He's asking them to be well-pleasing to God. He's telling them this is the only logical response you have in light of what all of what God has done for you. He's telling them not to be conformed or molded into the world's mold of life. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind to God's word to prove or to test what's good, acceptable, and perfect. Now you got three words there. Three words to describe the will of God, or three words that exemplify three degrees of growth. Which one are they? Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. A measure of faith. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. All right. Verse 4 teaches us that we have many members, but it's one body. And all the members in the body do not have the same office. That's what verse 4 is teaching us. And yet, we must remember, being many, we're one body in Christ. And everyone is a member one of another. Okay? Verse 6 goes on to teach us about the different gifts in the body of Christ that God has given because of His grace, and that grace that is given to us. There's different gifts that are given by God by grace to us. Do you know what verse 6 doesn't say? Verse 6 doesn't say according to what we want or believe that we should have or be. The gifts that God gives in the church, okay, are according to God's grace and the way God distributes them. The gifts that God gives in the church are not according to what you think or what you want. Now watch it. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. The gifts differ according to the grace that is given to the individual. Who gave the grace? God gives the grace. He supplies these gifts. And the choice and the people that He supplies them to is God's choice and God's option through God's wisdom and not ours. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased who?
Him.
And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. So, who sets the members in the body? God does. And God set the members in the body according to how it pleased to. Do you see it? Your ideas and preferences are not even a secondary consideration to God. God chose people. Okay? He didn't go to Brent and say, Brent, what would you like to be? He didn't go to Steve and say, Steve, what would you like to do? You know what he did? He chose people. And he consulted with himself. And he set people that he chose in the body as it is pleased to him. He didn't even set people in the body as it pleased the people who he chose. He set people in the body as it is pleased to him. In the body of Christ, each one of us is a member in particular with a specific place and function appointed to us by God. Remember, He set us in the body where it pleased Him. He didn't ask for your opinion, your permission. He set you in the body where it pleased Him. Because of God's infinite wisdom and knowledge, He knows best where to place each one of His children. Okay? He knows our weaknesses. He knows our long suits. And God will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. But with the temptation, we'll also make a way to escape, etc. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. 10:13. Romans chapter 12 again, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think sound-minded, soberly, each according to a measure of faith that God has appointed. That's a New American. You're to think, but each according to a measure of faith that God has appointed you. He's appointed you. God is personal, and he is an intimate father to each and every one of his children. Now, let me ask you a question, those of you who have children. You're personal and intimate with your children, right? Do you know what pushes your children's buttons? Would you place your child in a position of something they couldn't handle?
No.
Because you know what your kid can do. And you know it only because you're human and because of this type of experience. God also knows about us. He also knows where we would function best. See, your kid might want to do such and such, but you know that if you let your kid go over there and do such and such, that they're going to fall flat on their face. So you may say to them as a loving parent, that's nice, but this is where I want you. Because you know they will perform best in that position. And they will succeed best in that position. Now you know that as a human parent. Is it not feasible that God understands, because of his infinite wisdom and knowledge, he knows us from the beginning to the end? This is why he's placed us in the body where he's pleased him. See, God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't do trial runs. We make mistakes. We do trial runs. Let's see how he works out here. God knows. That's why God puts you somewhere that it pleases him. So he can move on to the next person in line in his family and put them somewhere where it pleases him. Because when God places somebody in the body, he's never wrong. Now, an individual has the ability to blow that calling and that placement, yes. But if he blows that calling and placement, it's not because God chose the wrong man for the wrong job or the wrong woman for the wrong job. It's because the individual failed to walk in his God-ordained placement in that which God has placed him. God has given to each one of his children a specific measure of faith. A specific measure of faith. He has already measured it out, and he has already given it to us. And this measure of faith that he has given to us is the precise amount that we need to accomplish our calling and function for him. That's what Romans 12:3 is teaching. Romans 12:3 is not teaching about salvation. Romans 12:3 and then the verses following telling about different gifts, different functions, different ministries, different that, different this. It's talking about, and lining up with 1 Corinthians 12, is talking about God placing you in the body where he wants you, and God equipping you with the faith that you need to function in that placement in the body, according to him. According to him. Verse 4, Romans 12. The NIV reads, just as each one of us only has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same functions. Okay, well, what does that mean? Every one of us got a body. We got a lot of members, but the members in our body don't have the same function. My hand doesn't do what my eyes do. My eyes doesn't do what my ears do. My ears can't do what my legs do. My legs can't do what my feet do. You understand? But it's all one body. But he's talking about there's different functions in the one body. That's what he's talking about. Different functions. as Christians, together we make up the body of Christ with Jesus as our head. Each one of us is a particular member, according to 1 Corinthians 12. You are a distinct, special, unique, precise, picked member, an individual of the body of Christ, with a specific place and function, listen, selected for you by God as it has pleased Him. You have a specific place and function selected for you by God as it has pleased Him. God tells us that there's different gifts according to 1 Corinthians 4, verse chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There's different kinds of working, but the same God. There's different gifts, there's different services, there's different workings. God tells us that. And He gives them to different people as it pleases Him. Yeah. Now, when you walk in love and you're in ministry and you need to have such and such and such and such, you can operate that. I'm not telling you that you can't operate that. What I'm telling you is that you will be able to operate something very good, better than you could operate these other things. You understand? You will gravitate towards it. You will be better at it. You'll be more proficient at it, whether it's in the spirit realm or whether it's word of knowledge or whether it's gifts of healing, whatever is what I'm telling you. And if you find that you are operating in that calling, then by prayerful consideration between you and God, you can pretty much understand that that's where God has placed you in the body. Okay? Because if He's going to place you there, He's got to enable you to function so you could work efficiently and effectively in that position. Because God makes no mistakes. Okay. The New International Version of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. It reads this way. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Okay? Now, I know the way this is presented in the Holy Spirit book, but the way it's presented in the Holy Spirit book is wrong, period. It's wrong. This is talking about God. It's talking about how God distributes things. And it's talking about that God distributes it the way He determines it should be distributed. That's what it's talking about. The Bible in basic English reads 1 Corinthians 12, 11. All these operations of the one and self-same Spirit, God, given to every man separately as His pleasure is. As it pleases God, He gives it to the man. This gift, that gift. The Darby translation reads, but all these things operate the one and self-same Spirit, dividing to each in particular according as He pleases, according as God pleases, not the man. You can't sit there and choose what you want to do, because I just got done showing you that God places you in the body without your opinion, without asking you for your permission, as it pleases who? Yeah. Him. Him. And when He places you in the body, in that position and that function, He enables you with a measure of faith that will bring you from your position and function from birth to death. In other words, your measure of faith in this context that God equips you with is just enough faith to get you through what you need to accomplish for God from your birth to your death. Your measure of faith is to you, and it's specific. This is why you will see some men operate in greatness, and you'll look at them, and you could say, I could never have their faith. Well, of course you can't, because you have your own measure of faith. and you take your measure of faith, find out your position and your function in the body, and then operate with that measure of faith in that position and that function, and your rewards and your success will be just as great as their rewards and their success. God has allotted them a measure of faith specific to the task that he has tasked them with. God has allotted you a measure of faith specific to your position and your function and the task that he has tasked you with. You understand? Young's literal, the same verse. All these work in one itself, same spirit. Spirit. Spirit is what? It's a noun. Dividing to every man severally as he intended. He is what? That's right. It refers back to the noun. He, the spirit, God. He divides to every man as he intends. As he intends. Now listen. None of us can choose his own place in the body of Christ. Did you get that? Nobody has the right to choose his own place in the body of Christ. We need to receive with meekness the word of God that's able to save our souls and make us whole. We need to submit to our Father's will and become living sacrifices by renewing our minds to the word of God. Then and only then will we find and fill the place that God has appointed for us. Now, we're all interdependent one on another, and we need each other, and no one's more important than anybody else. See? And this, you could scratch your head, and you could have a problem with what I'm teaching, and I understand that. Why don't you have a problem with the Philadelphia's head coach? Do you think you're just going to walk onto the Super Bowl team and tell the head coach that you're going to be the starting quarterback next year? Or I'm going to be a wide receiver? Or on special teams? Why is it that you can accept and praise the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles for his choice and positions that he has assigned his team, and you can't believe that God has the right to do the same in his church? Why is that? Pride, wrong teaching, not reading the word of God the way it's written. God has placed everyone in the body as it has pleased who? Him. You don't have the right to pick and choose who you think you are and what you're going to do in the body of Christ. Neither does any person playing on a football team have a right to pick and choose the position and who he is and what he's going to play. Because you go to a coach and tell him that, how long are you going to be in that team? Hit the door. Hit the door. And this is where people have made a mistake. Okay? People have tried to function in ministries and in positions and in functions that God has not placed them in. And when a person tries to function in a position and a function that God has not placed them in, first of all, they're not in the will of God. And second of all, they wind up hurting people or they wind up discouraging themselves. Because they are not equipped to function or picked to function in that position. And they're trying to do something that they shouldn't be doing. You don't have a right to choose. I want to be a prophet. I want to be a great gifts of healing. I want to be an apostle. You don't have a right to choose that. Whose choice and option is that to make? Right? It's God's. And this is why people fail. This is why people get discouraged. This is why people spend a lifetime doing things and never getting anywhere, because they're doing things in the wrong place, in the wrong position, because God didn't put them there. And what they got to understand is that nobody's more important than another. See, if your position is an eye, for instance, and you know this talks about this in 1 Corinthians, and you, God you're, placed you in the church as an eye, but you want to be an ear can't function very well driving a car. And you wonder why you're banging yourself up all the time. You wonder why it doesn't work for you, but it seems to be working for so-and-so. Maybe it's because God has placed you in the body where it's pleased Him. Not what you think you should be doing, not who you think you are, not what gifts you want. Why don't you take some time to stop, have some prayer, and ask God, oh, novel idea, what would you like me to do? Where would I function best? What have you equipped me best to do? Because I'm going to tell you right now, and I've said this to you oodles and oodles and oodles of times. When I first started, I thought I'd just be teaching and be doing this and be doing that, and He just took me and threw me right into the wolves. Never did I expect that. But I will tell you this also. Not everybody's cut out to be thrown to the wolves. And that was a hard lesson for me to learn. That's the truth. Some people can't stomach the things that I can stomach. I'm not talking about me, and I'm just telling you straight. You got to be of a whatever, and God understands that. Just the way you understand it about your kid. Some of your kids will be wonderful nurses and doctors. Some of them can't stand the sight of blood. They faint. So are you going to take your kid and throw him into the operating room and say, this is where I want you? Oh. Well, God knows that about us. He's not limited to us. I understand that. But He knows. He's God. He's all wisdom. He's a smart guy. He says, this is where He's going to do best. This is where I want you. He sits there like this. You here. You there. It's assigned seating in the church, people. Oh, what happens when you want to go sit over there? God don't want you over there. I'm going to sit there. Okay, we'll sit there. See how much you get done. You'll get a lot more done in your assigned seat, your assigned position and function, than you will in your rebellion against God, think, oh, this is what I want to do, and this is what I'm called to do, and this is... And you want to know something? When people think they're called to do something, it's never, never the foot. You ever notice that? It's always something spectacular. It's always something tremendous. It's always the prophet who's going to part the sea. Or he's going to touch you and you're going to get healed. It's never an ear, you know, or something, a hangnail. Because with us, we don't think they're important positions. But the Bible says it's pleased God and everybody's equal. You understand? Because we look at it through goofy sense knowledge eyes. Instead of looking at it through spiritual eyes. Spiritual eyes. Who knows best where to place his men on a football team? Who knows best where to place his people in the church? God. We must learn to be realistic and sober in our assessments of ourselves. Paul said it this way, don't think more highly of yourself. More highly of yourself. The measure of faith, a faith, the measure, it was a measure of faith. The measure allotted to you will be specific as regards your position and function. The type and amount of faith varies by each member. And you see it. You see it in experience. You see it in the walk. You see people that do fantastic things and have fantastic success in certain areas because they're equipped to do that. I'm not saying you can't do that when you're walking in love, but that is not where God wants you. Listen, when I went into the service, okay, you went there, your drill sergeant saw you, he worked with you, and then he placed you where it was best for you and for the whole team, for the whole battalion, the platoon, okay? That's what he did. And some people are real good at gunneries. Some people are good at sniping. Some people are good at spying. Some people are good at fixing automobiles. Put them in the motor pool. You need these kind of things. That doesn't mean the guy that fixes the tank is any less than the guy that shoots the tank, especially when the guy that's shooting the tank needs to make a reverse and get the hell out of Dodge. And reverse, that's a, reverse is gone. Then you're real thankful for that guy in the motor pool. But you see, this is the way God designed the body to function. Together, but yet independent. You're going to be best at this. You're going to be best at that. You're going to be best at such and such. See, we know and we accept these things in the senses realm, but we just blow it when it comes to the spiritual realm, thinking that God Almighty couldn't make the best decision for our lives. Now, that's not controlling us. That's not predestination. That's, I know you. You're my kid. I know that you're going to do good, such and such. Who's afraid of heights in here? Who doesn't like heights? Okay, so I'm not going to make you a tight wire girl. I'm going to put you down in the center of the ring where people can look at you. You're going to be my main attraction. And I'll put somebody up there that likes to walk around on the wire. Why? Because I love you more than... No, because that's just the way you're made. And I know that you'll function better than that. Well, some guys, a guy can't have a baby. A woman was designed by God to have a baby. Does that mean that God doesn't like men? No. It means that he knew that this is the way it works. It's the way it's going to work for the best. And this is the way it's going to be. That's smart. It's smart. You may need foot faith or eye faith or ear faith. The faith that allows you to function as an eye will not work very well if you're trying to function as an ear. Okay? I know that's a silly illustration, but it's true. You need faith specific for your calling and position and function. That's what you need it for. And he will give you a measure of faith that will take you from birth to death to function properly like that. There is a variety of gifts, services, and ministries available in the body of Christ. However, placement and function in the body comes before gifts and leaderships. Now listen to what I'm telling you. It'll help you. Placement and function comes before gifts and leadership. Too often, believers become overly preoccupied with gifts and ministries. They focus their mind on certain gifts and ministries of their own choosing. It is usually not a foot or an ear type of service that they go after. It's usually a miracle or an apostle type. I'm going to be the apostle. The value of the gift, we heard about value tonight in prayer. The value of the gift is relevant to our place in the body. The gifts, ministries, etc. enable us to fulfill God's appointed function and placement in the body. Okay? Romans 12:3 tells us to cultivate sound judgment. It says, think soberly. We're supposed to cultivate sound judgment. Our first responsibility is not to decide what gifts and ministries we'd like to have in our lives. Our first responsibility is not to decide what gifts and ministries we like to have in our lives, but to the contrary, our first responsibility is to find our God-appointed place and function in the body and to fill that position. You got it? Yeah. Where God wants you. And fill that position. Not where you want to be. Where God wants you. This will in turn determine the gifts, ministries, etc., that are needed to function effectively. Once a Christian has settled the question of place and function, the needed gifts, ministries, and understanding will come into manifestation almost immediately without any undue effort or striving for us. But we do it backwards. Find out place and function. When you find out place and function, you already have that measure of faith, a measure of faith to function there. And it'll just flow for you. It'll just flow. The measure of faith that God has allotted to you is not stagnant. Your faith is an ongoing expression of your relationship with God. It's an outworking of your continual obedience and surrender to God that will bring you to the place and to the point that God has ordained for us to fulfill and function in His will. As our ability to function effectively in the body of Christ grows, our faith will grow to meet the needs that present themselves. Because God would not assign you to an outpost if He did not first equip you to function at that outpost. Now, you may not know you have it in you, but I want to tell you something. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. You have it in you. If you're doing something and you're not getting the degree of success that you think you should be having, perhaps you're in the wrong position and function in the body. And you should take some time, go back to God, pray, and He has to reveal it to you. This isn't a secret. This isn't like, oh, pick whatever you want. I can't tell you how it works. I can tell you this, that in your inner heart, God will show you where you will work best. If you are meek and you really want to do His will, you will say to Him, not my will, but thy will be done. Because you will say to Him, you have picked me and you have placed me in the body where it has pleased you. I want to know what pleases you. Where have you placed me? Not, I want this, I want this, I want this. And I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to study this. Try saying this, where have you placed me that I can be most pleasing to you? And then He will reveal it to you. He has to reveal it to you. You understand? I'm where I'm at because God revealed it to me. Sitting on a sofa, spoke to me, said, I will ordain you. That's what He said to me. And if you were in the position I was in when He said that, you would have said, you're out of your mind. But that's what He said. And I'm just telling you that for a teaching illustration to help you to try to understand how God will communicate it to you. Not because I'm anything, because I'm not. Okay? But God will show you. He has to show you. The Bible says He's placed you in the body where it has pleased Him. Okay? Then He's got to show you. Our problem is we haven't asked. We've chosen things, we've decided things, and we went off without even considering sometimes, is this what you want me to do, Father? Have you ever seen somebody in a leadership position that has destroyed the area?
Yes.
You know why that is? He doesn't belong there. Now, there's that percentage that he just flipped out and did belong there. You know, he's got to face that. But I sat there and watched 8-10 people get ordained one time, and then I knew the one guy didn't belong there. And I knew that when he came out on the field, he was going to do nothing but destroy people and rip people's hearts in pieces. And guess what happened? You know why? Because God didn't want him there. God wanted him over here, and he may have been the best in the world over here. But you know where he wanted to be? He wanted to be the leader. He wanted to have the reverend tag. And he was able to convince and brown nose his leadership that were stupid and walking by the senses to make it happen. See? Now you see, you get some understanding now. Because God doesn't make mistakes. Now, I know that he needs us, and I know that he needs us to work along with him. But if God chose you to do something, he's going to equip you to do it, and he's going to say, this is where I want you to function. If you start functioning over here, and you're not getting what you should get, maybe you ought to get back to where you belong. And you know what? Be happy where God has placed you. Because there's no degree. The apostle doesn't earn any more rewards than the guy that cleans the toilets. Because if the guy cleans the toilets and is equipped to clean the toilets and cleans the toilets with the love of God, he gets just as much as the apostle does. And I got news for you. The apostle's temptations are a hell of a lot more than the guy in the toilet. Maybe you're not ready to take those temptations. Do you want that responsibility and burden that comes along with that position? Do you want a woman saying to you, you can have anything you want. Here I am, take me. I had a woman say that to me. More than one. Do you want that temptation as a man? Huh? I don't want it. And I could tell you other stories too. I don't want it. So, you know, don't look at Solomon. Smart, greatest guy, but guess what came with all that? A whole bunch of headaches, right? So be thankful. Maybe you don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. Be where God has placed you to be. Let's close this up. Okay, so what have we seen? We saw that there's no article in Romans 12:3 to stand behind the word the. Then we looked at the word measure, and we saw that it's the Greek word metron, which means it's a quantity within God's own limits that he assigns us individually. We saw that a measure of faith is just that. It's a measure. It's that which is given with regards to a person's gift and a person's calling. And it's personal and it's intimate. We saw that there's many members in the body, but they don't have the same office. And yet they're all one in Christ. We saw that gifts differ according to the grace that God gives. And he supplies these gifts and so forth because of God's choice. It's not our choice. We saw God is personal and intimate. And he understands and he knows each one of his children. And we saw that he gives each one of his children a specific measure of faith. He has already measured it out and he's already given it to us. It's the precise amount that we need to accomplish our calling and our function for him. We saw that nobody can choose his own place in the body of Christ. We need to receive the word with meekness. We need to submit to our Father's will and become living sacrifices. We need to renew our mind to the word of God. And then and only then will we find and fill the place that God has appointed for us. The measure allotted to us will be specific as regards to our function and our position. We saw that there's a variety of gifts, services, and ministries available. However, placement and function in the body come before the gifts and the leadership. Place and function comes before gifts and leadership. In other words, you want to operate in this powers and this ministry. Okay, that's great, but don't try and operate that before you find out where you belong in the body of Christ. Find out where you belong in the body of Christ, and then you will operate in that position best where God has placed you. We saw that too often believers become overly preoccupied with gifts and ministries, and their minds focus on certain gifts and ministries of their own choosing. Our first responsibility is not to decide what gifts and ministries we would like to have. Our first responsibility is to find our God-appointed place and function in the body and fill that position. This, in turn, will determine the gifts, ministries, etc., that we need to function effectively. And once a Christian has settled the question of place and function in his mind, the needed gifts, ministries, etc. will come into manifestation. We saw that the measure of faith that God has allotted us is not stagnant, but as our faith is an ongoing expression and relationship with God, as he takes us to different heights and different places to function in, our faith will grow to support us there. And as our ability to function effectively in the body of Christ grows, our faith will grow and meet the needs that present themselves from birth to death. Because God doesn't make failures. God has equipped you. God has placed you in this body where it has pleased Him. We need to line up with God's will, find out what He wants for our lives, and then start to function in that position, in that place in life. And then you will see great things happen. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your guidance. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your direction. It's simple and it's clear, Father. And that how wonderful it is that we don't have to figure it out and we don't have to rebel with pride and ego, but we have to submit humbly to Your word, knowing that You know best where we will work and You know best where we will function, and that in fact You have chosen a place and You have already prepared the good works that we will do for You, the place and the function that we should be doing. So let our hearts be to find out what that position is, Father. Let our hearts be to find out what that best place to function will be, Father, according to Your will. And take us there. Show us, guide us, direct us to that place, Father, for You have already equipped us for that job. And may we go there in meekness, knowing that You are our strength and You will never let us fail. In Jesus' precious name, amen.